Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Nathan Cromley, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Father Nathan Cromley. He is the founder of the St. John Institute, and he's written a book, Coached by Paul the Apostle. This draws from Paul's writings about leadership, how to be a good leader. He's going to talk to us about that tonight. And this is the second show of two shows that we're doing with him.
I think Father Cromley brings a lot of great insight to this episode, especially with building a spiritual plan. You know, moving forward to our, you know, just developing a greater love of God. And I think also a greater spiritual awareness of some of the faults or kind of errors that we can fall into. So we're now going to a reflection with Father Cromley.
Hi, this is Father Nathan Cromley. I'm the president of the St. John Institute, where we work with leadership, right? And a lot of Christians struggle with that because they say, aren't we supposed to be followers, right? If we follow Christ, then we should be humble, we should be meek, right? And I'm like, that's fine, except have you ever read the life of St. Paul? I wrote a book on the life of St. Paul because I was just really touched at how driven he was and how impactful he was and how intent he was on making a difference. And I'm always kind of amazed that we Christians today kind of act like that's optional. Maybe, like most of us would say, our life is rather insignificant. It's insignificant maybe to a lot of people, but it's not to the people who are close to you. The people who love you, like your children, your spouse, how are you impacting them for Christ? Right? Are you impacting your colleagues? Well, it's suddenly we just looked at the little world that we have near us and impacted that world. It would be like a ripple effect. And that world will impact the world around. And before you know it, Jesus's love would spread. And instead of us complaining about how bad the world is or how dark the darkness is, we start lighting the candle of the light of Christ wherever we are. The real conversion has to happen on the inside. Having problems is not the problem. Having problems with having problems, that's the problem, right? And Christ comes to solve that problem, to say, hey, look, why don't you start facing the problems that you have as an opportunity? And that's where he really becomes real in our life. I want to invite you to let Jesus in, to let him to be the center, to let him light you on fire so that you can let him out in the world, impacting those around you, impacting the culture for Christ.
Well, Nathan, welcome back to Life on the Rock. And we've been speaking about Coached by Paul the Apostle, Lessons in Transformation. And we ended our last show with you about just starting to talk about leadership specifically. And you actually formed the St. John Institute that coaches people, right? That's part of their work.
Right, yeah. St. John Institute exists, right, to provide to bring faith to leadership and leadership to faith. Mm-hmm. And so we raise up saints to lead. That's mm-hmm. what we do. And we do it by all kinds of different programs, like writing this book, mm-hmm. being on the show, preaching, teaching, mm-hmm. and really helping businesses and families to find faith-based solutions to their practical problems. Mm-hmm. And so we're in Denver, where we have a campus, but we go all over the country with our work. And I'm excited to do it as a priest because I find I'm able to bring the gospel into the practicalities of people's lives. And especially into their, you know, the business works, the professional work. Oh my goodness, they're waiting for that. And to be able to serve Christ there is a great privilege.
Right. So important. And the secular world is talking so much about leadership and things and different life hacks about that. I know you make the point about, you know, deciding what you want, right? The goal, what the heart's moved to. But you make a strong point that that's not enough, right? We have to come up with a plan. There's some practical action here, right?
You know, if you look at what St. Thomas Aquinas, I know he's kind of a nerdy name to bring up, but he really nailed it, Father, at the same time. Thomas Aquinas said, look, there's five essential stages that a person moves through whenever they do something with their heart. So if God wants you to act and own it and to say, this is my choice, my freedom. All right, well, freedom has a roadmap. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you have to say is what you want to do. A lot of people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. They'd have no problem doing it. They just don't have no idea what they want to do, right? Uh-huh. Other people struggle when it comes to, I know what I want to do, but I just can't decide the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many options. Then others, as soon as they make that option, they come to the third stage, which is once you've decided on a way, you have to start. Because mm-hmm. then it gets real, right? Mm-hmm. And then starting is one thing, but finishing is the fourth stage. That's another. You've got to actually bring that to completion. Yeah. And then finally, you need to radiate the joy of having accomplished it. And that's another stage. So those five stages, wanting to do something, choosing the way to do it, starting, finishing, and sharing. Well, when I looked at what practical issues people have in their lives, they're all going to fall into one of those categories. I mean, your leadership flows from your ability to act freely. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to Christ, he's summoning us to that freedom of action so that we can bring his solutions to the world, his impact to the world. Yeah. And when he does that, he's going to be healing and dealing with that roadmap, those five zones in our lives.
And what do you tell people that are trying to decide what do they really want? On one level, the first thing that comes to mind for me is maybe like holiness, to be a saint. You know, I was reflecting on three people recently, the modern people that lived, that we did some work with the show on, and just thinking, why was I so drawn to them? And it's like, they achieved a sanctity, all three, through suffering. But I just was looking at my heart and said, you know, Mark, that's really what you want here. That's what draws you to these people. Mm-hmm. What would you say about that? Or maybe, you know, cultivating that, or if it's something very specific, what would you tell them?
No, it's a beautiful place to start. Yeah. It's just that if we stay there, it becomes hard to act.
Right.
Because you're like, well, I want to be holy, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. So I would say to refine that by going one step further to say, okay, well, if holiness is love, then whom can I love? Where is their ability? Who needs me? Mm. Where is Christ calling for me in the practicality? Right. And I would encourage Christians to take that next step, because once you become practical, you become impactful.
Yeah.
And also, you can't do it all.
Right.
And that helps. Sometimes if you just really realistically saying, well, I don't live in another country, so me thinking of helping the people in another country, I can't do it, right? Well, that helps you to pare it down, make good decisions.
Right. Yeah, who are the people God put in front of you, maybe? Mm-hmm. And even like going out, you know, Pope Francis has emphasized this so much, you know, we can't just wait for people to come to us. But something I've appreciated, though, too, is just stepping out with people around me, you know, that maybe need some help or struggling or whatever, that I'm not making that effort, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's always has to be that mission, right? That going out in the life of a Christian.
Mother Teresa of Calcutta would say that she didn't know really where she was supposed to go or how God wanted her to serve him. So she just got busy loving the people right in front of her.
Yeah.
And I think that St. Paul went through that same step, because when did God say, go to Greece, or go from Greece to Athens, mm-hmm. or, you know, from Athens to Corinth, Corinth to Ephesus? But Paul simply did the next thing. He took the next step. He mm-hmm. wasn't afraid of making a mistake. The only mistake he would have made is to not try. Mm. And I think for a lot of us, we get so caught up in not knowing where we're supposed to be that we make the biggest mistake of all, and that's that we don't try to move forward. If you're not moving forward, you're almost sure to be in the wrong place.
Right. And you talk quite a bit about paralysis, and you said it's not an illness, but a symptom.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
The first thing we notice in our lives as Christians is what we're not. And that's the paralysis. So I'm not being a good husband. I'm not being a good wife. I'm not being a good parent. Okay. And then you say, well, why not? You're like, well, because I can't get over my anger, or I can't let go of the past, or I can't find a way to communicate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are your paralyses. Now, where is that coming from? When you look at it, to the degree that we hang on to fear, or we let fear trap us, we will be paralyzed. This is why Christ said every single time, be not afraid. It's the one commandment. And it's, notice that he didn't say, I'll not take your fear away. He simply said, don't give into it.
Right.
Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in the presence of fear. Mm-hmm. That's what St. Paul is so marvelous for, because he's telling us all the time, he's showing us all the ways that he had the right to be afraid, and he should have been afraid. He had terrible things happening to him, and yet he did it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson for us too.
I got to say, when you really caught me at one point in the book, you talk about Lydia outside of Philippi. And I remember church history, you know, it talked about Lydia, she dyed purple cloths, the purpler they'd call her. And we'd always be asked that on this one history test. But you say it was the first baptized person in Europe. She wasn't just a cloth merchant, right?
Yeah.
This is opening up Europe, Western civilization, culture. The Holy Spirit opened her heart to hear what Paul's talking about. Mm-hmm. And he just happened upon her. She was by a river, right, or something, praying.
Well, that's what I mean by not being afraid of making a mistake. Paul goes to Philippi, and he's always gone to the synagogues and preached in the synagogues to the Jews, who then he would try to convert to Christianity.
Yeah.
There was no synagogue in Philippi.
Yeah.
So where is he supposed to go? Mm-hmm. Well, instead of sitting there saying, I have no idea, like so many of us would, what's God want for me? Paul's like, well, I'll go to the river. He goes down to the river and he finds righteous Gentiles who are praying by the riverside. They listen to him, happens to be Lydia's there, engages Lydia, baptizes Lydia, and then from her house, he establishes the first church in Philippi, which is still there to this day.
Yeah.
I was just there.
Yeah.
And the church still is there in Philippi. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and then through, of course, Europe, through Lydia, Europe, through Europe, America.
Mm-hmm.
And so God led him through his imperfection or without knowing to do exactly what needed to be done for the history of the world.
Right. Well, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Father Nathan Cromley in just a moment. Father Nathan, let's talk about some of these paralysis. I identify with all of them. First one, paralysis of fatalism. What's that?
Paralysis of fatalism is when you don't even want to want. We meet somebody whose life is just stopped, and you say, why is it stopped? And they say, I don't know. Right? You're like, uh-oh, what's going on there? Deeper than that symptom of them not wanting to want is why they don't want to want. Mm-hmm. There's a fear there, the fear of futility. Meaning it won't make a difference anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I want. Whoa, where did that come from, right? We can't allow that.
And that's what I think, Sue, the saints and maybe holy people we know, you know, that we live with, they give us that hope that change is possible, you know, that we, and there's, like I said, we did a show on Father Stu, on Michelle DuPont, we've talked about her and some others. It's like, I just found it so encouraging to say, you know, holiness is possible. Right, and these achievements possible. But.
Well, St. Paul had every reason to believe that his world was in a box and whatever he did would be futile. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. He's there is no Christianity. He's inventing it. You know, he's not inventing it, but he's bringing it forth into a culture that utterly didn't want it.
Yeah.
So it'd be the easiest thing to say, this is changing no one. When he was on his second missionary journey, he literally walked across Turkey, the entire country, and he didn't make a single baptism. Can you imagine the futility? Why
like
am I doing
miles,
this?
Isn't it?
At least, yeah. Look at the map, and through the mountains, you know, it passes, and yet Paul didn't. And when you look futility in the eye, and you face it with a love of Christ, Christ can show you things, make you the most creative of all people. But you can't quit. The spirituality of St. Paul is, I will never quit. As long as you don't quit, God can use you.
Right. The paralysis of fog, you feel incapable of maybe choosing one of the possible solutions that are available.
Oh, yeah. Making a choice. I put in the book these are the type of people that go shopping and they go through the entire store and their basket's still empty.
Amazon, that's what it's got. Can't make a decision, right?
Yeah, because we're afraid deep down inside of making a mistake. And I love how God forces us to face that because you have to do things anyway, which means you might make a mistake. And his big lesson is it's okay. The real mistake is not trusting that I am bigger than your mistakes.
Right. A paralysis of flight refers to our reaction to fear before the unknown.
Well, the thing is, once you make a choice, you see, now it gets real. Because you could risk something when you choose. It's one thing to talk a beautiful talk. Yeah. It's another thing, well, to put your money where your mouth is, because suddenly, oh my gosh, I could lose it. Mm-hmm. And for St. Paul, this was, of course, a constant. You know, if he stands up and speaks, they might stone him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so what a lot of us will do is at that moment, we'll choose to run away. And Paul teaches us, no, this is where you engage, because by doing, you become what you choose. And that's a greater grace to become something than it is to always be potentially many things. Mm.
Yeah, I think Teresa of Avila talks about that. We don't do what's like right before us because of all these endless possibilities, you know, and don't engage the reality of our life.
Love impels us. And he even says that, St. Paul beautifully says, the charity of Christ impels us forward, right? To be driven by love means, look, we don't have a choice here. We're going to do something. Mm-hmm. And then you make the best choice that you can.
I know you've mentioned it a few times now, but this fear of failure, let's talk a little bit more about that, because I think that grips so many of us. Maybe it's like we don't want to look bad in front of others. We want to make, it could be a perfectionism.
In my ministry at St. John Institute, Father, I find it's the biggest one that Catholics face. Because we're so well educated to say, look, if I do God's will, then I'm good to go. So then you're like, well, what's God's will? Mm-hmm. Well, the fear of failure is like, if I don't know, then I can't act.
Right.
And so, but the saints, from Mother Teresa to St. Paul, they're constantly reminding us that God invites us to do the best thing that we can. What we're supposed to do is make the best choice you can. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, urged by love, you can't afford to sit back and just wait infinitely. Yeah. Because we need to give God. We need to heal and to feed and to come up with solutions. He didn't make his church to say, we need to be perfect. He made his church to say, we need to be loving. And the loving looks like action, which means you might just need to go forward with the best thing you can and be ready to pivot. The secret is, Paul was ready to turn on a dime. He was in Athens, didn't work. Okay, I'll go to Corinth.
Yeah.
You know, and then he went from Corinth to Ephesus. He constantly was on the move, but everywhere he was, he brought God.
Yeah. Paralysis of fatigue means that we're afraid of the sacrifice that it might entail.
Paralysis of fatigue happens towards the end or towards the middle or the end of the process when you realize this is costing me something. I mean, for us to stay faithful to our vows will cost us everything else. Mm-hmm. It's one thing when you're young and you start things, but when you finish them, it means that this is something I've got to persevere through and I won't have a second chance at it. And there, the paralysis of fatigue is to say, I think I'd rather cling to the image I have of life rather than to accept the cross of death. Mm. And yet it's in that cross of death that we give life.
Yeah. Yeah, that wonderful story where the elder priest gives the younger priest advice about getting through the midlife crisis. He says, once you accept the fact that you're going to die, it becomes much easier, right? For men at the end of the line, you know. So the last one, paralysis of forlornness.
Is my favorite one to talk about.
Really?
Because, yeah, well, the word forlorn throws people off.
Yeah.
I just needed another F to rhyme with the other ones. Forlornness, it's the spirit of loneliness from someone who so longs for love and companionship and also to share what's in their heart that they never find someone really willing to listen or to reciprocate at their level of intensity. So what they do, the forlorn person, is that they sabotage themselves. They say what they do is not of value or that you won't like it anyway. And then they don't sell it. They don't rejoice. They don't bring it in because they're scared of the disappointment that will come from, well, the real fear of rejection. Right. Since I know that no one will really treasure it, I won't even share it. Ah, yes. But if you don't share, you don't lead. Achieving something is only half of leadership. The other half is bringing people into that achievement. Right? So the person has to overcome this by the love of God for them. This is Paul's celibacy. Paul embraced the solitude of no one will love me but Christ. And so then he was able to embrace the whole world because he was satisfied with the love of God for him. And this is where Christ's love makes us the best salesman in the end.
I think like Mother Teresa, she had that wonderful litany, you know, if you build something and they tear it down, right, build it anyway. She had a litany of stuff like that, that just, it seemed like just doing the good work in of itself is a value. It's an act of charity, right?
Because in the end, it's not about them anyway.
Yeah. Right?
It's about the Lord.
Right.
And so that's where the forlornness is something, it grips a lot of people because we're convinced somehow that we don't have value. the love of Christ for Paul was, Paul, I love you enough to die for you. Right. Will you not love me enough to live for me? Mm-hmm. And that's this whole spirituality. I think one we can all imitate.
Right. We got less than a minute left. What's the role of the Holy Spirit in this? I know you're eloquent on the Holy Spirit. So,
for Paul, the Holy Spirit was always power. And it's the Greek word dunamis, which is the same word we use for dynamite. So this explosive power of love that pushes and propels Paul all the way to the end, where he could say, the only thing left is the crown of righteousness that is laid up for me in heaven. Until then, I have fought the fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And that's all by this, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus in his heart. And I think it's one we all have, and we just need to let him blow us, move us where he wants us to be.
All right. Well, thank you, Father Nathan, for chatting.
You're welcome.
With us.
God bless you.
Father Nathan always gives us a great conversation. What did you think? What struck you about the talk?
Well, I think there were a lot of great things said, but I like whenever he kind of went through the fatalisms that we or the paralysis, that we can encounter. But one of them that I was really kind of thinking about was one of the first ones that he talked about was the paralysis of fatalism, not wanting to want. You know, what difference does it make? You know, and I think we can easily fall into that maybe in this modern world. And we might know something is true or right, but maybe the majority of people just don't even believe or think. We go, well, you know, if it's just me doing it, what difference does it make? But it's really just that maybe that one person that does make that difference. Because if we look at St. Paul, you know, he did embrace those times of suffering, those times of solitude. And they were so explosive in terms of how that his message went out into the world and really Christianized, you know, the first century.
I thought Father Nathan had a great point too about number of times I didn't realize that the Holy Spirit told him he didn't want him to go here. He didn't want him to preach here. There's a number of times. I mean, that kind of shows Paul's zeal that he's trying everything. And as Mother Angelica would say, sometimes she would learn, she would try something, it didn't work, but she'd learn something that would be useful somewhere else.
The Holy Spirit roadblock,
And I think the temptation for us today is that we have so much entertainment, we have so much kind of pleasure-seeking, hedonism, however you want to describe it, that we cannot want anything. We just want to be entertained. And so I think the solution is to start trying things, to get out there and try and whatever's on your heart to do. And, you know, maybe it is loving the people around you or doing something. If you want to do some ministry or somehow bring to the faith, to the workplace or to the family, to make some efforts to try it. Because even the secular world's telling us, you know, when you start doing something, then you fall in love with it. That love usually doesn't come first, right? So I think that's a great lesson for us in the faith.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, looking back, even like the St. Thomas Aquinas plans, you know, whenever we, those 5 points he made earlier, but even just the sense of accomplishing something that we started, because a lot of times we can, you know, start something and then we may kind of grow into burnout or something, but to keep at it, you know, because we a lot of times we don't know the work that we are doing. I think for many reasons, God may not reveal to us all the work that we are doing just to keep us humble.
The fruitfulness of it. So, don't talk yourselves out of great things, right? Dare to do great things. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill your hearts with His Holy Spirit to guide you in taking action and serving the Lord. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.